Hey, it's Tara, host of the Daya Unpacked podcast. It's so much fun for me to bring you these stories. I love and appreciate all of the messages I've been getting from you. If you enjoy listening, please rate the podcast on your favorite streaming platform. Follow our Instagram account at Daya_Unpacked and share with friends. Your love and feedback helps me to grow this podcast and bring you great stories and talks from Daya. Hello and welcome to Daya Unpacked. In this episode, I talk to a rock and roller, a rebel, who also happens to be an excellent photographer, Mallorca Aborigine and free spirit, Pere Colom. In our talk, Pere brings us back to the mystic year of 1979, when the music scene in Daya was as wild and experimental as the musicians who played it. Pere's sense of adventure and his credo of por qué no makes this a super fun talk and reminds us that in its core, Daya has always been a haven for creativity like no other. I'd like to welcome you.
Thank you.
So Pere and I are sitting in my cozy living room. It's winter, so I'm wrapping myself in scarves.
I'm cold.
You're cold. Do you need a blanket?
No.
No? You're good?
I'm Aborigine.
He's an Aborigine to Mallorca. Many, many generations. We will talk about this.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a podcast because a lot of people in Daya said you need to do a talk with Pere Colom.
Jesus.
So here you are.
They rank again.
And there will be some Spanglish happening today.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because my English now is more or less I can understand you or I can be involved in a conversation. But when I first visited Daya, my English was absolutely thank you and bye, you know, nothing. And in that area, in that time, let's say 77, 78, 75 maybe, I just, as a visitor, just having some drinks. But I think it was later in the 79 or 78, I can't remember now. One day I had a beer in the Christian's bar. I don't know if it's called the Christian bar or the other, or the Richard's bar, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. 79, for example. So I was there alone, having a beer in the bar. And then in the end, which is, this bar was some hippie bar, Ibiza, you know, with cushions. And in the end of the bar, it was a guy, a blonde guy, playing guitar. Alone. So I said, Jesus Christ, he plays very bad guitar. Or very, not very bad guitar, but same thing during. So in one moment he goes to the bar, he goes to the toilet, or doesn't matter where he goes, I don't know. And the guitar is there alone for a while. So I said, oh, so I'm going to play. And in that time, I used to play a lot of Santana or Hendrix as a guitarist, you know, if you want to show how you play. So I've been playing along, and I saw this guy coming back from the toilet room, or doesn't matter where, come to me. I said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, like, I give you back the guitar. And he said, no, like, he says, no, keep going. So he left, and I went and played with this guy that never come back, but after maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I can't remember, he came back with another guitar. So we've been playing for hours until here, the bar, they closed. I said, hey, come on, guys, go home. So this is when I met Kevin Ayers.
That is fabulous.
And after that, he sent me, I have a gig in Tampico Fort. So I said, I want to do a concert with you. We're going to play together in Tampico Fort, which was a big festival. And I said, no. Both, just a duo, why we don't do a band? He said, oh, can you make a band or can you organize a band? And I said, yeah, I know a lot of musicians, Juan Bibiloni, who lives in Yucalcari, and Miguel Figueroa, who was a drummer, which I would like to play with him. So we start a band with Kevin, mm-hmm. And so my relationship came more closer. Today, yeah. And also, in the same time, I met the Sex Beatles.
Yeah.
What we call the old bigs, with Hamish, Jordi Ramon, Jordi from the Bar Palmeras.
So wait, so let me slow this down for 1 second. So how was your English at that time?
Neutral, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, I can tell you something.
So you learned your English from Kevin Ayers?
No, my English. No, Kevin speaks French.
Okay.
And Hamish, speaks French too. So for that, we have a relation. If not, we cannot talk about.
Wait a minute. Okay, so where are you from originally? I know you're an Aborigine, but what part of the island are you from?
Sawyer.
So you're a Sawyer guy. So you, and you speak French?
Yeah. Of course, any Sawyer Aborigine speak French.
That's because you have a French connection.
More or less.
Somewhere many people, down the line.
Yeah, because we have a boat. We have a boat in Porto Sawyer, 2 or 3 times a week, go to Marseille,
yeah,
selling products. So we got was a big relation, and many people who migrate to France. Have a house in summer in Sawyer, I've seen it.
Okay.
So it's a big relation.
And are you French? Are you part French? Is there any part of you that's French?
No.
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 Okay.
No, actually, my father always says, I have a leg in Fornalutx and another leg in the Yard. But my balls are in Sawyer. I heard this, but I said, what he mean? But I never take care, or I never take attention to. So recently, somebody asked me, you have many family in Sawyer? I said, no, I don't have family in Sawyer. Nor cousins or primos or I don't know, second. No, we don't have family in Sawyer. And I understand that because my father, his father or his mom, his father was Deia, was from Deia, and his mom was from Fornalutx. For that, always says his.
So you're really a Fornalutx Deia mixture.
Yeah, but my Colomb, name is not from Sawyer, because in Sawyer we have many Colombs, but it's not my family. So, we don't have any friends. So, for that I realized maybe not, my family came from Deia. The original Colomb is from Deia. It's not from Sawyer. For that, I had this
You had this
attraction.
gravitational pull towards Deia.
I'm sorry, that's an English I don't understand.
So, you know what a magnet? Do you know what a magnet is?
Yeah.
So, like, Deia was a magnet for you.
Exactly, that attraction or magnet,
Something really interesting now that I'm talking to you is when you speak English, you have a little bit of a British accent.
You're joking.
This.
Yeah, I remember when we played with the Sex Beatles, a concert in London, in one of these audience, I can't remember. Should be Hamish here because he will remember.
He is here. He's spiritually here, I'm sure of it.
So we've been playing the concert, and after the concert is another band playing. I go to the bar to have a beer, and two guys come close to me with these rings, yellow hair, leather, punk, to really punk.
Punk.
Really bad, came close to me, and they said, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what they said. And I said, sorry, I don't speak English. Speak French or Francais? I said, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what they're talking about. And I just left, I'd gone. And Buddha, he was our manager in that moment, Ian Carpenter, the Australian guy, he came to me and said, what they say to you? I said, I don't know. They said something, but I don't understand. I said, they are who they are. I said, no, they were the fucking Sex Beatles. Sex Pistols. Was the guitarist and the drummer, the Sex Pistols.
Wait a minute, it was actually the Sex Pistols?
The real sexual stuff.
Yeah, no, seriously, that's very cool.
I cannot speak French.
All right, so here's the whole deal with this whole thing. So to me, this is what I'm imagining. You are a Mallorcan guy. You grew up in Soyer, okay?
Yeah.
In a very Mallorcan, I'm assuming a Mallorcan community, Mallorcan family.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're an adventurer. You are an adventurer because you play the electric guitar like Jimi Hendrix and, you know, whoever else. And you come to Dea.
Well, it's more easy than that. You know, in Soyer, was a few discotheques. And always, and this in this kind of these years, 74, 75, at 16 years old, I played with a band, but for tourists, playing Spanish songs or playing, I remember that because I said, oh, Jesus, I'm 16 years old and I can go out on the night and I get money for it. So my family, they can say, no, you don't go, because it wasn't work. It's like, wow. So until I met the Hamish, Buddha, and all these people, and Kevin, I was playing with four tourists. But in the meantime, I want to play Henrik, I want to play Rory Gallagher, I want to play, you know, guitarists like Carlos Santana. Actually, in England, they call me Jimmy Santana. When I was there, because I was illegal somewhere.
Interesting. So when did you learn? How old were you when you learned how to play guitar? You self-taught?
Alone. No reference. I learned to play Hendrix, but alone, without reference. So I don't know how to put the fingers or how Hendrix get the sound. But I try my way.
So you're doing maybe it by for ear? That, by yeah. ear?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I have no idea about music.
Okay.
I cannot read music. I cannot write music.
You're an intuitive.
Nothing to do. My wife, actually, she's an opera singer.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing.
She was one of the top.
I would love to talk about that.
And now she's retired. She don't want to sing anymore. Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, unbelievable, because it's easy. If you learned how to write, you can read and write. Yeah, but I never get the esfuerzo.
You never had the interest in learning it. You wanted to
play. I try, but I get tired.
Okay.
I'm 10 minutes and I say, oh shit, I don't like this. I want to play. So I play the guitar. So my way to play, maybe for that circumstances, my style is personal because I don't play like everybody. I play just my own because nobody teach me how to do it.
I think that's the best way.
Well, I don't know. We never know. You know.
Well, you're an intuitive. I think it's a real artistry.
Yeah, for that always, many musicians like to play the song and learn how to play the song. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who, Dire Straits. But I never do this. I just get the feeling and I play my own.
Amazing.
You know, it's amazing. Just consejo, how you call that? Consejo in English.
Consejo, not 100% sure.
When somebody asks me, please give me a reference as a musician, a young musician, a young guitarist, give me some way to play. And I said, listen, don't try to do the same as Eric Clapton. Don't try to do the same of Mark Knopfler. Try to do your own.
Yeah.
With the same feeling.
Of course.
So when you go to a solo, go to the solo, mine in white. Not with I know I'm going to do this because I know it's going to work. No, just go to the solo. And sometimes you can
get... It's like an intuitive playing. It's like jazz play, jazz musicians.
Well, it's more jamming.
It's jamming.
Yeah.
And you
in
like
a song,
jam.
Jamming.
It's jamming in the song. But you guys made that work. You guys made it. It worked for you guys.
Yeah.
So you... talked about something that's actually very interesting, and I just read about it because I'm reading Tomas Graves' book, Tuning Up at Dawn.
Yeah, I never read it because it is in English.
I know. It's a shame because it is actually excellent.
No, he sent me. They're going to translate to Spanish in some
Oh, you have to read it then if you get a chance to. And he talks about music for tourism, how music played a big role in Spain in the early years of tourism, and it attracted a lot of people who were coming from England and Northern Europe. They wanted live music. So you actually played in a club live music for tourists.
Yeah, but wasn't not really like a concert. Was just entertainment.
Well, yeah, but that
just
was actually
for just for dance or just.
But that was actually a thing back then. Like maybe a little earlier, maybe more in like the 60s and the earlier 70s. But apparently, the summer musicians became so popular amongst the tourists.
Yeah.
That they started making these little 45 records.
Yeah.
For tourists to buy in the tourist shops. Remember that? Like,
yeah.
So was any of your stuff put to record?
No. But the band before I play, I mean, the older than I, they called Los Amos. They have a record. And was fantastic. Like, wow.
Some of them became hits.
One of the single records. I mean, these are.
Some of them even made like the top charts out of England, out of London. You know, it's a kind of an interesting history. So you were a little bit a part of that.
Yeah.
What was Mallorca like when you were growing up?
Fantastic. It's, how you call that? An open, you know, when you start building the house, you have a solar, you have a place, and you said, oh, I can make a wall here, or I can do, I can change everything. It's not a house that is there. Because Franco just died, and we just have in front a new era, whatever. So I remember I can leave my hair, I can get my hair long, like the Beatles, or like everybody. I can play guitar. We can make love. The girls take the sustains, the bra out, so you can see the tits somewhere. was not a question sexual. Was an opening.
Something opening.
Like, yeah, we are free. We can go to the beach nude. It was fantastic in this moment. Well, maybe how we feel. It's like it's the disaster, it's the police, it's the Guardia Civil, is everything is a little bit, how you call that, tetrico. But after time, from now, it's like, wow, what's amazing. Everything is to do. I mean, like in the Sex Beatles, we have other beatles, we call the offbeats. We have a lemma, it's okay, lemma, a phrase.
Okay.
Por qué no? Because
por qué no? Yeah.
Because everybody says,
it's a hook.
Everybody says, we're going to do a concert, I don't know, in La Defensora or that. I say, no, but it's not possible because, por qué no? Why not? And this album hook to just keep doing.
Yeah.
And
that's your motto. That's your credo. Por qué no?
Yeah,
I'm going to do it.
No. Yeah,
that's what you said to me with the podcast. Por qué no?
Exactly. Por qué no? Exactly. So it was a moment fantastic.
I can imagine. That was a huge pivotal time in Spain.
Yeah. Especially because, I don't know, now if you want to do something different, maybe the Guardia Civil is going to come and say, no, you have to go to the government and you need the license, and the los bomberos or the firemen have to be there. Or at that moment, I organized concerts in Deia. And we take the electricity illegal from the, I don't know, there. But at the Ayuntamiento, no, it's nothing. They do it. You know, it's the, and we put just instrument there and we do a poster and we play. And now it's impossible.
Now it's impossible.
It's absolutely.
And you played all night. You played till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Amazing. Such a different time. So I have to tell you something funny. So you are a man with many talents. So, you know, you do so many different artistic things. So when I was researching you, I reached out to Hamish and I just said, hey, Hamish, I'm doing a talk with Pere. Do you have anything I should talk to? You know, can you make any suggestions about what I could talk to him about? What do you think is really particularly interesting? This is literally what he writes to me. He does. It's not even full sentences. It's just words. But this is what he says. Offbeat Sex Beatles. Bass player, not guitarist. Touring UK. Recording. Tourist photography. Boat trips to San Maroc. His cars. The seat. Learning English.
The seat, not the set.
I'm calling it the Seat. It's a Seat. Okay, the Seat. Learning English, speaking French and Spanglish. Kevin Ayers, Don Cale, dogs, which you've already traumatized my dog. Opera, singers, who I'm assuming is your wife.
Wow. Yeah.
So now you have to talk about all those things. Give it to me.
Woof. About the English and French, sorry, about the language, how they learn.
Yeah, learning English, speaking French and Spanglish. So
yeah,
I guess
that's what I tell you, no?
Yeah, because, so we covered that.
We have this Spanglish. When we don't have the word, we speak.
Spanglish is my life at this point. Yeah, I live for Spanglish.
And Hemingway was one of the promoters too, because he writes songs in Spanish and English, like "Qué pasa, señorita? ¿Qué pasa con tu risa?" He tried to speak.
Has a great sense of humor. He's a very witty, smart guy. Hilarious. But okay,
he's older than I must say.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 days.
20 days. He's really old. He's way old.
We were always joking about this. I said, "Hey, you are an old man."
You could have almost had a birthday party together.
Yeah.
I
was very fun, very grateful when he says, "We come to your party because we celebrate together."
Yeah, it's me.
Well, actually, we don't really have many time to talk about together because I was concentrating music. But we have a really good time. And I'm very, very happy to see Annie and Hamish coming.
They're really sweet. They're cute people. All right. So let's go back to this day in 1979 where you come to Daya to have a cerveza at the bar and you wind up meeting Kevin Ayers, and he asks you to not only start a band with him, but then come play with him, like tour with him.
Yeah.
Or play at a big concert.
Yeah.
Okay. What happens after that?
Well, with Kevin.
Yeah.
No, because in the same, the Sex Beatles, Hot Beats, and Kevin was, in the same time.
It was all the same time.
It was, okay. I
know 1979 was the big year for music. It was like a big year for music in Daya.
In Daya especially. Yeah. Yes, yeah. But I just was open and Kevin says, okay, we did a few concerts in Mallorca and Spain. And then after, also be touring. But we had 20 concerts in 19 days. So it's like more or less one a day. And we have to move with the bus every night. We sleep in different places.
Yeah.
It was fantastic because when you play every day, you get better, better, and better, and better. Mm-hmm. Because with the Sex Beatles, with Kevin, we never have many time to rehearsal. Mm-hmm. Because Kevin lives in London, I'm living here, I'm Jordi, and so it was difficult to put it together. But when we did this tour, I have some... pilot recordings from the radio, and we play fantastic. And the end of the concert, and only House of Him, who was the guitarist, amazing guitarist, with Kevin, he plays these concerts. I get emotionally, you know, I touch every time I listen to this music. So, but for me, it was special because we've been playing maybe 19 days, and I thought I have money for that. I mean, every day is some money.
Sure.
But I've been every day with Kevin. I mean, imagine any concert is a backstage with drinks, food. Fruits, but Spanish. 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Of the concert starts at 7. I don't have appetito. I don't have. I'm not hungry.
Right.
At 7, so I don't. I refuse all that. Is free food or free drinks? And after the concert, we went with Kevin Ayers to find a restaurant, which maybe 10 o'clock, not many restaurants are open. It has to be special and expensive. Well, I've been spent every night with Kevin. One day it's Indian, one day Chinese, or very different restaurant, because Kevin was an exquisito, in
that way. He liked good food.
He liked good food. Yeah. But when we come back, we drink champagne, we drink wine, But when I'm back, I have a meeting with the manager, and because I need to get the money, I mean, get paid. And he said, no, you owe us 40,000 pesetas. And it was white, like, because I've been, I just asked money, you know, give me florines, give me Dutch mark, or give me a French, Belgium mark, or it doesn't matter. So I didn't know exactly what they called. So the door, after 19 day play, I get in debt.
You're in debt negative. After this.
I get in negative.
So did you ever pay it back? Did you very rock and roll? Did you ever pay it back?
No, because the Buddha says, the manager, he says, Kevin says no, he's gonna pay for that. But maybe he get for a concert 100,000, let's say, and I get just 10. Right. That's the difference. But right. We spent the same money when we got out, you know.
That's hilarious. That's a great story. So so you just continued to do music with these guys for a few years.
Yeah. The thing is, it was very difficult to play together.
Mm-hmm.
Many concerts. So yeah. In summer,
but Kevin was living in Dea at the time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
So you could see him quite a bit. And...
Yeah, but winter in Dea, it's like now, you know.
I know it's
great. Well, no, it was bad because there were 3 bars open, and now it's not one. It was 1 bar.
Well, there's a new bar in town.
Yeah, maybe. Thank you. I never been.
It's really good. You have to go.
Everybody says
it's great.
It's fantastic.
They did a great job. Caspecho.
Okay.
Campecho. Campecho.
Yeah.
David, shout out. So good.
Good. Well, that's good news.
Yeah, no. You had a lot of opportunities to hang out and...
So the thing is, I realized that doesn't matter with the Sex Pistols. I mean, I live in London. I've been in London for a year or something like this, and I left London because my visa finished. You get a stamp, a visa. And I had the opportunity to play with many bands.
I'm sure.
They asked me, hey, I'm you sure. want to play, blah, blah, blah. But I don't like the weather. I don't. So I'm back to Mallorca.
How much time did you spend in London?
First time, 6 months. Second time, 3 months. And the third time, 2 weeks.
Did you meet the Beatles?
The Beatles? No, my best friend, because he speaks French,
mm-hmm.
was Lemmy from Motorhead.
Oh.
And amazing, because he's...
How is he your best friend?
How?
He's your best friend? Yeah, how?
Because, I don't know how, we met in a bar.
In Mallorca?
No, in London.
Oh, in London.
He came to me and says, hey, I saw you to play, blah, 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 like the Sex Pistols. But I said, I'm sorry, you know. So, you play French? He said, yeah. Oui, je parle français. Ah, c'était bien le concert. He said, no, je joue aussi la basse. So, he said, he plays the bass too. I said, oh, okay, so let's have a drink. And we have some relation, I don't know. And then we go to his party, to his house to play guitars, to play acoustic guitars. But I didn't realize that he was a big fabulous musician. The Motorhead in that moment was a big thing.
Uh-huh.
But I never realized. I realized when I come back to Sawyer.
This happens to you in your life, where you're just living, having a drink, having a cerveza, and some guy is like, hey.
Yeah. Yes.
And then French. And then French happens.
Thank God I speak French. If not,
your life would have been boring as hell.
No connection.
You would have been bored.
Yeah. Why I let the music go is because as a musician, always I need the others.
Yeah, that's right.
Always I need the other, because I cannot sing. And I'm not a creative in the way that writing songs. Arrange songs, yes, but no writing from zero. And slowly I start to do pictures.
This is very interesting to me. Yeah.
So I do my first exhibition, and then the same time.
So how does that happen? Like, did you just, how did you start doing photography? Did it just happen? obviously you were using the old analog cameras, right? What was the progression for that?
I don't know. I love the photography.
Okay.
So I don't have a camera, but a friend of mine have a camera. So my first exhibition or my first pictures was my girlfriend, nudes of my girlfriend in the country. I mean, in the
what tree. Kind of camera was it?
Oh, called a Voigtlander.
Wow. A Voigtlander. Cool.
It's not a reflex camera. An amateur camera somebody had. But I did, when I found the pictures, I said, okay, I do an exhibition. So I start to learn.
Developing,
and I don't have money to buy a camera or to buy a laboratory or make a laboratory.
Right.
So it was a guy who was our singer, who's a photographer for tourists, the guys go with the monkey on the street and chop pictures.
Or
you are with your friend in a restaurant, they do a picture.
Yeah.
And he was our singer for the tourists.
Okay.
And so I asked him to use his material. And in the same time, he said to me, you want to go with me? I have to do pictures in La Foradada, down there, for the tourists every 3 days a week. We put a sombrero Mexicano. We do a pictures. We develop
with a Mexican hat?
Yeah, a Mexican hat, yes. Imagine.
But for them, it was
Spanish. I don't know. Internet doesn't exist.
It's a sombrero, it's a sombrero. It's Spanish.
A sombrero, a Mexican, and everybody. Wow, I look fantastic with the Mexican sombrero. So I start with him to get in touch with the laboratory, to get in touch with. I can use his cameras. But I've been working after that every summer during, I don't know, 15 years, doing pictures for the tourists. In the same time that I'm a musician, playing rock and roll in Camping Afford on a concert, in the same time, I do it in the afternoon, pictures for the tourists with the sombrero Mexicano and developing the black and white negatives in a, how you call that, in un pozo. Pozo with the water. You know, when you put the water, una cisterna.
Yeah.
Empty.
Uh-huh.
So it's the only way to have an arrow.
Oh, that is fascinating.
No, it was amazing.
So was that your bread and butter, was making money?
Yeah.
To then go on and be a musician? And
Then
over time, because you just recently put a beautiful book out. This book is really beautiful.
Well, this is my homage to Leia.
Pede put out a book very recently in 2024. It came out like when? Like in September?
More or less.
It's called Dea View Portraits, and it's portraits of people in Dea. People you've probably known your whole life.
Yeah. This is my Dea. I mean, it's the people I met.
It's amazing.
Yeah, no, the thing is, one day I was in an exhibition in Residencia. I don't know, maybe 2017, I can't remember. And I was there, and I noticed that many people I used to see there, they're not. One dies, another one goes to Australia, like Francis, for example. Or another one goes to, like Thomas, go to Montuini, or I don't know where they live. Mm-hmm. Another going to Campos, another die. So I said, Jesus, this is going to, my Dea is going to disappear.
Yeah.
So I just get the idea to have this, put it together, all these are still alive. Well, now there is four that disappear. I shot it in the 2020, and now they're not here. They die.
Yeah.
Like Jackie, Waldred, or Arthur.
Arturo, yeah.
Arturo. And Don Tony.
Yeah. What a really great... So this is such an interesting thing for me, because having done the podcast now for a few years, Dea is such an inspiration. It's been so inspirational to so many artists over the years.
This is, you have to read my introduction or all the introductions, prologos. We're talking about this.
Yeah.
This is, I want to be reflect in this book. And especially every portrait have a comment. The portrait, el fotografiado,
mm-hmm.
the model,
yeah.
have to write something.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he have to, or they have to write some sensation about Gea, or what they think about.
Why do you think Gea has such powerful artistic energy? What is it about this place?
The mountains. This can be many theories. No? Who knows? But there is there.
It's there.
It's there, because if not, how can be happen? It doesn't happen in another place.
It doesn't happen really. Where else does it happen?
Actually, maybe the people, the Dayanings, also have the influence, because they really respect how the mixing between the foreigners and the Dayanings. They live together and they together. Even many people doesn't speak Spanish after 40 years living here.
I know.
They try.
I'm trying.
But this is because they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
They feel home. Doesn't matter if it's not England or if it's not Australia or if it's not.
Yeah.
You feel here like you home.
Well, I always,
and maybe you don't have the necessidad, the need to speak Spanish, because it doesn't matter, so everybody gonna understand you.
Well, what's really funny, I always say this, I have friends here, Mallorcan friends, Aboriginal friends, that I've had friendship for 35 years, and we can only communicate in a very rough Spanglish. And yet, I love these people. They're like family to me.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but it's amazing. Because this, in another place, maybe not happen.
I don't know.
I mean, I cannot live in England, which is speaking French, Spanish.
No, that's right.
I have to learn English. If not, everybody going to say, hey, fuck you.
That's true. In America, it's the same thing.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
But here, no.
There's this real integration.
Yeah.
And it's chemistry.
And
chemical.
I think it's unique.
Yeah, I think
Maybe I heard about Goa. Or some places in Ibiza too, but I don't know. Deia is very special.
Deia is very special. All right. So, do you have any like really good, crazy, like absolutely loco Deia stories? What's like the most loco thing that's happened to you here in Deia?
I don't know. Jesus.
How crazy could things get here?
Well, for me, it's not crazy. It's normal. Maybe for the others, it looks like crazy. They said, "Oh, why are you doing nude 4 o'clock in the morning, nude in the Cala de Deia with one of the champagne, which is not champagne, it's an awful drink." But for me, it was normal. It's not like something to play in a place like your house, 5 o'clock in the morning, because I'm happy, have some joints, and a couple of drinks, and wine, and play, and was normal.
Wasn't anything
that surprised me, like, wow, this is the others.
Yeah.
The people who look at from outside, they think that's a special, but for me, it was normal.
So there's a high tolerance. Do you think it's changed? Has that changed to you?
Yeah,
for that. Or do you think it's
a lot?
It's changed
a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can feel it the same.
Yeah.
But, como se dice, puntualmente.
I feel like it's still here.
It happens.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Deia. It happens. Before, maybe happened every week or every summer, or every day, and now happens once a month.
Yes. Now, what was in the 1970s, what was the whole nightlife scene like on the island? You said there were nightclubs in Sóller.
Yeah.
What was nightlife like in the 70s in Mallorca?
All over Mallorca.
Yeah.
Full of nightclubs. Jimi Hendrix came to play in Palma. And I remember I collected the money to go there to buy a ticket, because I knew that But I can find nobody who take me there with the car because I have no license. I had no car, no license. I was very young. So I remember staying in the square of Soya with the money to pick. Maybe I never can go in because it was full. But I remember this, like, very frustrated, sitting in the square, waiting for somebody who can take me to Palma to go to see Hendrix. And I saw he's just there, 30 kilometers, and I have no way to go there. So for me, it was one of the frustration days in my life.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
So when did you discover Hendrix?
From a girlfriend.
From a girlfriend.
A Spanish girlfriend. She was a military, his father was a military doing holidays in Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about maybe I was 16, 17 years old. And she was a fan of all these music, you know. So yeah. He had records. And she, when she was here all the summer for 3 months or 2 months, he lent me the records to listen. When she go back to Madrid, she take the records again. But for 2 months, I have the opportunity to listen on this time, on these guys. And also, there's a bar called Bar Nadal, which is still exists in the square. It was a disco for the Americans who've been in the Prima Jar. So they have the best discography because they have the last number one in England, number one in, especially in the States. Next day, they had the record in Sawyer. So I have the opportunity to listen to all these musicians. Jimmy Cliff. For me, I was sitting there listening to this Jimmy Cliff, like fascinating, you know, this with the reggae stars. And I was, Jesus, what's happened here? What's this kind of music? Like, fascinated, you know.
It is fascinating.
I met this kind of music. Jimi Hendrix, Rory Gallagher, because my girlfriend.
Who's your absolute favorite? Who really influenced you?
Gallagher, Rory Gallagher, Hendrix, of course. Yeah, Carlos Santana.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my let's say, somebody to follow. I want to play like them.
And not the Sex Pistols?
No.
How about the Sex Beatles?
No, I love to play. I love to play punk, which with the same beat I'll be doing this. I love it, but it's not like fascinating me. I mean, it's easy to play. It's something. Just all you need to do is put all your energy on the stage. You don't need to be a professional musician.
But isn't it funny how people love that? Like, it really resonates.
Because it's pure
energy.
It's so
energy. Human. It's so human.
It's pure energy.
Yeah.
It's power. It's a yes. Good set the queen, you know, bah, 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 let's go, you know. Energy.
I love it. All right, so now, are you doing music and photography still? Are you still doing both?
Yes, photography, yes, in some way, yeah. But music, just a jam session, just jamming. Actually, sometimes when I find a band, say, hey, come on stage and play. My fingers get, you know, fundidos, broken because I'm not used to play.
You've got to build up your calluses.
I don't know, and I love to play with people, but alone I get bored. And I have other things to do. Always, yeah. I have things to do. I don't bore it.
Do you have kids? Do you and
no.
your wife have kids?
No.
Now, so how did you meet your wife, who's the opera singer, and is she also Mallorquin?
Yeah, from Inca.
Super cool.
Yeah, but she's amazing. Well, she studied in Mallorca. In the conservatory, but also she learns specialty all over the world. I don't know, in Madrid, Barcelona.
Is she still singing?
No. And she was also she was the conservatorio teacher.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
She called me now. Maybe she heard that we're talking about her. That's a good story. That's a funny story.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
We met in a...
Only if she doesn't kill you for telling it.
No. It's true.
Okay. Yeah. That's the way it is.
We've been in a party, a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
in a party in Poyenza. She's 50 anniversary. Yeah. So we've been in this party,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know how... she was with the friends. And when I got into the party, Joanna was there. I said, oh, and she just recently separated, divorced.
Oh.
So she was, oh, yeah, I need somebody. I need somebody fresh. And she says, oh, this guy coming in. And a girl there, a friend she know me, says, oh, I know this guy. I can introduce him, or blah, 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 blah. So somehow we've been in touch. We've been dancing. She always said this. And after that, she never saw me dance. I just danced this day with her. Very emotionally, very into. So the thing was, because I came from also another relation, which I was, these heavy girls that were pushing me, but doesn't matter. So I don't want a relation. I feel good. And I said, listen, I want to spend a week with you. I have a friend's house close to Sagapita. I want to fuck it and have and get a really beautiful, really beautiful week. And after that, nothing more, because I'm not interested in a relation. She said, oh, same as I, she says. So the only girl I said, I don't want a relation. Now it's 25 years together.
That's very funny. That's how it goes. Was it a good week? Because was it a good week? Was it a good week?
Yeah, fantastic. because sometimes when you want to start a relationship, if you really like the girl, or the opposite, when she says, do you like football? And you said, oh, football, yeah, I love it. And she said, oh, I hate football. You said, well, yeah, I mean, I like football, but maybe just a big one match in a year. I'm not really interested. So you do things like try to agradar a la otra persona. No?
Exactly.
But in this situation, I said, I don't want to.
You're just honest.
Yeah, just
honest.
And this is, listen, we still love us, and we're still together.
Well, I'm going to just, listen, audience, this is how you do it. You're honest. Honesty is the best
best.
A relationship. I think so. Well, congratulations on that. All right, so now I want to hear about the Seat.
I never have money enough to buy a car, but I can buy a Seat. It was many, many cars. Many easy and cheap. Actually, one of the...
Can we talk about... I think the Seat was designed to be a very affordable car in Spain.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Like the only affordable.
The only affordable. Right.
Actually, I buy one of the second-hand cars and with a geek, with Kevin. With the money I get with the geek and with Kevin, I buy the car. And I remember the guy who was... I can remember his name. Pepe Alcover, who he lives in Deia. He came to the concert, waiting in the door when I out backstage to get the money. And I said, no, we're gonna go pay maybe in 2 days, not after the concert. But he needs the money. And he was there on backstage waiting for, okay, you finished the play? Okay, give me the money.
That's hilarious. And he gave you the Seat.
Yeah. But the thing is, I have six. In 5 years, I have six cars. Because,
what?
I don't know, they finish or they break. I don't go to the mechanic to reparation. I buy another one.
That's very... So do you have them all still? You
and all the thing about the Seat is, was our car for all the band. Nobody, the English, or nobody can license, or nobody have a car here. So we travel over Mallorca, or we go, doesn't matter where. I remember after a party in Chandy Trons in Deia, on one of these places, everybody wants to go to Sawyer, to Saint Germain. And I put eight people in the car. It was uncovered.
Oh, yeah, it was like a convertible.
Perfect.
So, you can do that then.
And we go back, we go down, imagine. We go down from Camblena to Sawyer.
Yeah.
full moon, stop the engine, and just the brakes going down in silence, and everybody singing, blah, 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 blah.
Fantastic.
All the girls into the car, and let's go to Sawyer to dance with full moon. That's fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's another time.
Absolutely. Yeah. What a great time.
Yeah.
Who was John Cale? How did he fit into the whole music thing with
you? The thing is, John Cale. John Cale, Andy Summers. Andy Summers was the guitarist, police guitarist.
The Police, yeah.
And I met these people because we played together for a TV show in Spain. A TV show with Kelly. So Mike Oldfield, they tried to do, I don't know, it was a record called June the 1st, Kevin Ayers, which Kevin played with John Cale, Nico, the Rotsy Music keyboards player, Brian Lino, I think. So they tried to do the same in a Spanish TV program in Catalonia, called New Musical Express, or Musical Express.
Mm-hmm.
So they put together Kevin Ayers' friends. So Mike Oldfield have to be there, but that's in the end he can come. But they find Andy Summers, which was Kevin guitarist, and John Cale, which they collaborate with many bands. So we had this TV show that you can find in YouTube.
Great.
And I play.
And you were the bassist.
I am the bass player, and I play with all these great artists.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
you've done
yeah.
so many cool things, Pere.
I know, I played with, and I met a lot of musicians.
Yeah, really great time in DEA for music and interesting people coming through. And I'm telling you, you must read Tomas's book because he really captures that time.
I didn't read it, but I heard about this, this 78, 79, until 75, 76, Tomas wasn't here. He was in Barcelona. He was somewhere.
You're right.
So he lost part of this area.
You're making a really good point here. Yeah.
He lost, and I can see. Or he,
yeah, because it's either earlier.
About this area,
it's either earlier.
But it exists, but it's something like an echo. He didn't, he wasn't close to us.
Interesting. Yeah, because I was wondering about that, because I'm not hearing his name come up in any of the stories of this time frame, because I've talked to Steve Lambert,
okay.
I've talked to Hamish, I'm speaking with you, I haven't talked to Tomas yet, but I want to. Yeah, maybe what I'm thinking is he's really writing more about earlier, like in the 60s when he was a teenager growing up, and his sister and brother-in-law had a nightclub in Palma. I think that is.
Ramon Ferrad,
so yeah. It was kind of leading up to your part of the story.
Yeah, because I don't know who one day we're talking about. I don't know if it was Hamish or I don't know. We're just talking about this. It's strange. Thomas doesn't write things about this area, this time.
Yeah, interesting.
And I said, somebody says, yeah, but he wasn't in there.
Maybe you need to write about that time. Or Hamish, because that's like a nice, really
Hamish
interesting
to write
time.
It, yeah.
Hamish has, he's an endless, endless well of incredible stories.
And actually memory, because sometimes, if we're talking now in an hour, I'm going to remember many things, but I need to talk it about to recover this time.
In English, we call it a steel trap mind. It's a brain that just captures information.
Yeah, yeah. It's there.
And I was really impressed by his recall. Like the recall of information. Like I can't remember. Like I won't be able to tell you it was a Tuesday afternoon at 5 on May the 2nd, 1968. You know, like I'm not going to have that. He has that recall. But yeah.
I understand 90% of what you're talking about. Or why you say it. But maybe just 10 years ago, this conversation can't be possible.
No,
and
I'm very impressed.
You know why? Because internet. Because I am a webmaster. I mean, I do website for the clients and things like this. So I need to learn English by Google Translation to chat with engineers or things, internet things. So I have to learn quickly, yeah. Because if not, the conversation just stops.
That's an interesting observation. I mean, that's, first of all, I have to say, I am always very impressed by people like the Mallorcan people who come onto the podcast like you. They're not feeling confident in their English. But I always have found that everybody speaks the English way better than they think they do, you know? So it works somehow. Yeah. It works. It totally works. All right. So
I'm sorry. So no, just getting back again. You say somebody have to write this area.
You guys have to write that area.
But the guy who really have documentation is Buddha.
I don't know Carpenter. Buddha. I don't know him.
But he's living in Australia now. And now he's in Philippines. And I don't know what he's doing there.
Does he ever come back? Does he ever come?
Yeah, about, I don't know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, he came for the summer. It was fantastic to be together. But this guy, he has pictures, negatives, videos, and for sure, he can relate, like our mind, or how you call that?
Like a timeline.
Better than I, or even maybe better than Hamish, because he wasn't there. You know.
Was he here the whole time? Was he here for that whole time period?
More or less. This time we're talking about, yes.
It's an amazing time. So now, what's the story with dogs? Oh, well, all right. So you had
The dogs.
Yeah, I want to hear about the dogs.
Okay. Yeah. I have two dogs, small dogs, like yours. They come with me everywhere. Any place I go, the dogs are with me. Actually, if they say, no, the dogs cannot come in, I said, okay, fuck you, I don't come. No, for sure. And they always free. I go to a bar, they come with me, if they want to go to walk, they go to walk, and back, you know, like every they know every day I go to eat. Because I'm not really a good cooker. And when I live alone, I just go to the next restaurant close to my studio. I go into the bar. They go, walk, but never cross the streets. I teach, of course. They go just
touring. Can I just say this sounds very Mallorcan? This is very Mallorcan sounding.
Yeah. And, somewhere. And they always, they're fantastic because, let's say, I go into Court English. They wait for me in the door. And sometimes I find people say, oh, yesterday you were in the Court English, right? They said, yeah, how you know that? Why you didn't say hello? No, I just saw the dogs outside. Or a restaurant or a disco. The dogs are always outside. And
I'm sure Hamish had to deal with
the dogs. My family, so they come in with me. If they don't, they cannot eat. I'm sorry, I'm not too.
I am very similar with my dogs, so I get it. But the whole walking around free thing—that's very Mallorcan to me. That's a Mallorcan thing.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, in that time, it was legal to have a dog without. Now, no.
Now it's changed possible. A lot. It's changed.
I'll tell you something. When I started to live with Joanna, I have my studio in Palma. So in the morning, I take my car, my motorbike, put the two dogs on, and I go to my studio. But you can imagine how they are. They are very, very intelligent. Yeah. Very
of course.
So one day, and usually I go to the street, go to the trees. They never cheat or piss in the street. They go too close to the tree, to the hearth,
mm-hmm.
and
do their business.
But this day I'm late, so I don't have time to take them outside. So I put it in the van, in the motorbike, and we go to the studio. So I stop in the semaphore, in the light. How do you call that? Semaphore, the lights.
At the stop, like the light, the red light.
Yeah, we have a red light, I stop. So they go down the motorbike, go to the tree there, they piss, And when the semaphore, the light starts to
change.
Yellow, they come back to the motorbike.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, they was like a little children, you know.
The dog. Oh, yeah, no, I love dogs. Yeah. I'm obsessed with dogs. So I'm obsessed with my dogs. My little dog who's barking at you, she's much better behaved than that normally. So we'll fix that problem. Yeah. We'll fix this problem. All right, so I feel like Mallorca has changed a lot in your lifetime, in our lifetimes. There's been a big change on the island.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's changed. Mallorca has changed. I think, I mean, I think...
No, it's changed a lot.
Yeah, right? Like, I think that there's still a deep Mallorcan culture, which I love, but I think it's changed. For you, how has it changed, and what would you like to see for the future of the island?
Actually, I don't have any idea what's it going to be. Because can go in different ways. Can be in worse, or can be the opposite. Like, we stop this, we stop the... That depends on the politicians.
Yeah.
And so, I'm sorry, I don't think we have good politicians, especially now in Mallorca. Now you can make legal any place that was illegal. Every can be resolved with money. With money, anything can be resolved. So, but as a Mallorquin, always we've been, how you call that, visitors. We have visitors, Romans, Arabs, yeah. Phoenicians, and we're still there. Mallorca is still a good island. And
great.
I'm sure, somehow we're going to have the same for a long time.
Yeah.
More or less, yes.
I hope so. I mean, I think you're right. I think the Mallorcan culture, the Mallorcan people, they're very resilient, strong, yeah. And they really hold on to the culture. I think that's so important.
Like many people say, oh, it's full of strangers, extranjeros.
Strangers, foreigners.
Strangers, foreigners that buy houses and yeah, but they're never going to take the house. They repair the house. The house now is beautiful. And so, but
yeah.
they're never going to take the house
you
back home.
You have to see the positives,
so
for sure.
They became aborigines in the end. If they used
ultimately,
to, live in here.
It's like America.
If you have children go to the school here, in the end, it's going to be...
They're aborigines.
Aborigine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like my husband, who really is French and Swiss, but he's Mallorcan. Deep in his heart. That's a very positive way to look at it. What about music? Like, what do you think about the music scene on the island now?
The thing is, it's many great musicians, young, with energy to play, but there's no places to play.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And the governments and that doesn't help to do
this. I know.
For example, Sawyer, it's not even one place. Public place to do a concert.
I know, it's crazy.
Nothing.
I know.
In a Soyer town, which is a rich town in some way, but nobody take care about culture or exhibitions or artists.
But right here, you're answering my question. You're saying that there is a need, nobody's meeting it, but that's a need that could be met. Like somebody can come and say, explore culture. Let's make a concert hall. Like, I know there's an old concert hall in Soyer. Ramon Farán is trying to do like a concert series.
Yeah, But
I see what you're saying.
The ayuntamiento or the political power have the.
They have the keys.
They don't know. They just thinking about tourists. They think just about restaurants, visitors.
Yeah, but tourists would love the concert. Tourists would come for concerts. You know, big music festivals and something.
A Holland guy, Dutch guy, who Jos Kuiper, who do every year a great series of concerts, classical concerts, and he brings people from Germany, Holland. Amazing concert, and it's full of foreigners, but even not many Mallorcans. And listen, it's amazing. It's like, I don't know, it's something I don't understand. and understand, like, because he knew that he did that this is force for to put these people, these great musicians,
yeah,
classical, I mean, not rock and roll. I don't know.
You feel like it's not happening. It needs to happen. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think Mallorca should be a haven for music. I think it should be just like it is for the arts.
But I told you, I mean, you saw you, there's many bands. It's about 4 or 5 bands. But they don't know where to play.
Yeah.
I have to say something. When we play, like with the Secretal, with Hamish and all this stuff, we never thought about the money. We thought about the money to arrive, to pay the petrol station, to pay the petrol or to pay the food, mm-hmm. but not really to
get rich. Or,
if, yeah. if we know we want to play,
yeah,
like we play for free in Silver Rock,
yeah,
because we just want to play, and now it's a document. Fantastic documentary because it's filmed. But now all the musicians say, oh, no, I don't want to go to Alcudia and spend 3 hours or 4 hours and take the for 100 euros.
Yeah.
Wow, I lost the. And I said, Jesus Christ.
If you have the passion,
go and play and enjoy it. If it costs you, even if it costs you 100 euros.
I agree with you on that. I think if,
so
if
it's two parts for one side, no government institution is not places to play,
uh-huh.
and for the other side, the musician they need money to play.
It's a catch-22 because we don't live in a world anymore. We don't live in a world where it's easy to be a poor, starving artist. The world has changed too much. Rent is really expensive. Just a house to live in is expensive.
Well, no,
just food is expensive. So it's like there was a time where you could be a busker or you could be kind of like a poor, starving artist, a musician, maybe with being a waiter on the weekends and then doing music in that way where you're not really doing the music for the money, but you're doing it just to share the music. And it worked. People could still have a house to live in and food to eat. I just think, you know, that's kind of a time, also a time that's ended. I have a son who's a musician. And in order for him to be a musician, well, I have two sons who are musicians.
Two sons.
Both of my sons are musicians. But in order for them to be, they really need to have a full-time day job so that they can do their art.
Right. This happened everywhere.
Right.
Every time.
Right. You can't just be like the busker, the adventurer. I feel like you and Hamish and Kevin and you... It was a time where you could be more adventurous and not worry too much about the money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
you had to do your passion and do it and create your music and let the people know that you are a musician.
But you know, you stay home. Then you could crash on your friend's house on their couch, or you could sleep in the van, or you could sleep on Kevin's couch. Like now it's like, you know, young artists still have like an overhead, I think. That young artists in your time frame, there was more freedom, I feel. Yeah. I don't know if I'm right or wrong on that, but it feels that way to me.
Yeah, I have this conversation every month with my young friends, musicians. But I don't know. Because then sometimes you need the volunteer. The volunteer, force to do something.
Now
it's impossible to play because the second said, why not? Let's go. Police came.
It's a mindset.
But afternoon, the police came and we cannot follow, we cannot keep playing. But if you don't try, it's like you put away.
Yeah.
How you call that? You say it's not my fault. It's the other fault.
You take no responsibility.
It's not my responsibility.
No responsibility. Well, that's definitely generational. Yeah.
You want to do.
Yeah.
With somebody take you up to the concert.
But you guys were like the original rebels. You know, this was post Franco. You were like, "Fuck you!" You're like, it was the big middle finger. You were going for it, and you didn't care if it was hard.
No.
And we took the risk. Yeah.
We take the real risk.
So I'm saying, young artists, if you're listening, take the risks, you know? It's
take
worth
the risk.
It.
Go take and try. I will help you or I will support you. I'm going to be in the concert.
Well, there has to be an exchange. because there was also this super excitement and need for that music in the community. People wanted that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. No, the times are different and people have changed. The mindset is different. But I agree with you. I think in a way, be the rebellious artist. Be the poor starving artist. Go for it.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, many musicians doing his own maquetas, his own records.
Yeah.
How make them now with the computer.
That's right.
Is the computer or something?
Be independent.
You have in the studio at home.
That's right.
So they do, and the idea is doing the song, put it in Spotify and get rich.
Right.
But
which is almost impossible.
The music, getting new music, getting better, as soon as you play in front of a real life audience.
Yes.
Because you think this song is beautiful, but when you play the song, everybody's drinking or talking.
I agree.
But if you play a song and you notice the people just pay attention, you know that the song is really good. So
that's right. That's how the Beatles became genius. You know, they were genius.
They played every day, during months, for cheap money. I live in a small room.
Poor starving artists. Yeah.
You're getting better as a musician with that. So then they just composer, they do the music and put it in Spotify.
Yeah, it's a good point. Interesting. I agree. Mm-hmm. We need some rebellion going on here.
Risk taking.
But this describes you. Like everything I know about you, this just makes so much sense that you're saying this. You are a rebel. I feel like you and Hamish, like, we're kind of like rebellious guys.
Yeah, somehow, yes.
And that's great. Like, I love that vibe. It's a good vibe.
Yeah, we use this. Porque no?
All right. Why not? So I'm going to go into my fun questions with you. Okay.
Fun.
Yeah. Be fun. Yeah. Not that we haven't been having fun, but even more fun. So what is your favorite thing to do on a free day when you have nothing to do and all the time in the world? What do you love to do?
Sleep.
Sleep?
No, joking. I don't know, jamming or improvisation. I don't know. No. I never think about tomorrow. I never think about, I don't know what I'm going to do after you. Yeah, you know, I have the option to go to Palma to visit some friends and have dinner together. Or Joanna sent me the car, the dog is in the house, alone. I don't know. Jesus, I have to think about this. Maybe next talk, I can tell you.
Because well, it sounds like it's like whatever you feel like
I
that
never,
day.
I mean, I never really think of the future.
Hmm.
I'm just doing
in the moment. In the moment,
closer to me. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you made it here today. We made this plan.
Well, we need. I mean, yeah. I mean, if not, it's impossible. This conversation, of course. But
I see what you're saying.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, in a way, what I'm hearing you say is that you just wake up and decide that day.
Yeah, I'm free in that way. Yeah,
that's cool.
I'm very free.
Yeah, that's a good way to be.
I always work for myself, so I never have a boss on top of me.
Or that's
I
the
never
best.
Have a schedule like I have to go to the office 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So my life was always. Doesn't matter. What's coming on? If it's bad weather, I stay home. If it's good weather, I go out.
Great answer, actually. Interesting. Yeah. Is
but
a testament
actually,
to...
I'm a, because I am cold. Yeah, maybe my mind doesn't work as como debería. No?
I think your mind is good.
No, but
it's coming off of a really bad flu.
It's like a cloud on my
you
mind.
You need to knock that out, Pere. That has to go. It's been a bad flu year. Okay, so we're going to do quick fires, okay? This is where I ask you two things, and you have to choose one.
Okay.
Okay? Puerto Valdemosa or Puerto Soler?
Obviously, I love Puerto Soler.
Okay, fair. That's a fair answer.
But because it's my closer place.
It's your hometown.
What I can do is Puerto Valdemosa. A site of just is a beautiful place, but after two coffees and two lunch, I nothing to do. And Puerto Sawyer is my home somehow.
Excellent. Okay. Safonda or Saint Germain?
Both. Both indifferent. Safonda now, for me, nothing to do like before. Saint Germain now, nothing to do like before. But in this moment, when Tomeu was the boss, Didac's father, at the beginning of Didac, was for me, was Safonda was spectacular, was something fantastic. Or Saint Germain, you know, was actually my last party, the 70 years party, last Saturday, I did the party in Saint Germain.
That's fantastic.
They called up on the meet and it's completely different. But and it's closed as a discotheque from many years ago. But I asked the owner, listen, I have to do my party, music party, and have to be in Saint Germain, in your place. So in the end, we have an arrangement. So he opened the doors.
Fantastic.
And clean. And, and so we can do the party. So yeah, both.
Okay.
But in they like compliments. People definitely from there want to finish.
That's right. So Saint Germain was a nightclub in Soyer that all the young people went to after they were done partying at Safonda. They head over there.
That
was kind
like
of
Kevin cool. Or the Lolitas, you know.
Exactly.
The Lolitas, which was Suna, Sarah, Annie, Odin.
Yep.
Yeah, they were the Lolita, which I shot. I started with pictures with the.
I know. I saw some of the pictures. Are great. Yeah, super cool. Fun. Okay. Cars or boats?
Both. Boats.
Cars or boats? Like a yacht.
Un yate or barco.
Barco?
Maybe.
Yeah.
No. Oh, cars.
Cars? Cars over boats?
A boat is well, the best boat is your friend boat.
Agreed.
That's the best one. Right?
Yep. Friends with boats are good. We like friends with boats.
Yeah, love it.
But you'll take cars because you're a Seat. Yeah. Okay, you're a Seat guy.
Yeah.
Music or photography?
Impossible to. Well, music was my. How you call that? My emotion way to express in one part of my life, and it still is.
Yeah.
But photography is my career. My career is what make me still be still alive. I mean, I'm still alive because I can pay my rent or I can pay my food because of
your
the photography. And actually, photography makes me feel also. Well, the music the same, because I know now at the distance I was a good musician with a good musician play together. But in that moment when I play, it's like normal. I don't feel like, oh wow, I am playing. It's like I feel natural.
Yeah.
And in the photography also, I have. I've been recognized as a photographer all over, let's say.
You are a recognized photographer.
Sorry?
You are a recognized photographer.
Yes, yeah, so especially sometimes from 1912 to 1000.
Yeah.
I was in the middle involved. Kodak chose me as one of the 16 photographers for the 150th anniversary of the photography, of the burn of the photography.
Yeah, prestigious recognition.
Things
yeah.
like that. And and
many
companies,
many
companies buy my work, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And also I have exhibitions.
Are you going to have any exhibitions coming up?
I don't know. It's too, okay. I don't know. My last was on Legacy Data.
I know.
I don't know.
So I
feel better doing books because the book is always there. And the exhibition.
I think books are amazing.
When you take the exhibition.
Yeah, I agree. The book is special.
The book can be in a stand for.
And people love. I'm a book person, so. So you're going to go with music and photography. You're going to say both.
Yeah.
You can't really pick one.
No.
I get that. I get
no,
it.
No, because, yeah. I don't know, you know, I mean, I would like to play music, but
yeah.
The thing is, you have to start a band.
Oh, I know.
You have to know where to play.
I have a son who
and
is
this
a,
is,
yeah,
is,
I get it. I know the, I get the musician thing because I have one son who's really putting 99% of his life into his music, and I know what he's going through, and I know how it's epic. It's a lot of work to make it happen. To get a few guys up on stage to perform music, you have to make mountains move. You know, it's a lot of work.
No, no, it's not an easy
work. People don't get it. So, anyway, we'll move on to the next question. The Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
A quien prefieres más, a papá o mamá? Beatles or Rolling Stones? I love John Lennon. I love Harrison, and even Paul McCartney as an individual. But Keith Richards, oh my God. Keith Richards is something special.
He's royalty, yeah.
He's God. Yeah. Even Mick Jagger. I love both.
I think Mama and Papa, I think it's a great analogy.
That's a bad question. I mean, if you say you prefer Rollins or Dire Straits, well, maybe he can do it.
Yeah.
But Beatles or Rollins, they part, I mean...
They're really two sides of a coin.
They're completely different.
Yeah, they're completely different.
I mean, Joanna, she's an opera singer, okay? She loves the Beatles, but hate the Rolling Stones. They noising. Because she's not a rock and roller.
Right. How
but
interesting.
As a rock and roll band, I mean, I appreciate what they do. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And the easy work, but they got a great sound.
I know.
They know how to play rock and roll. I mean.
Oh, no, absolutely. Rebels. They were rebels and
so
sexy.
So, Papa and Mama.
Papa and Mama. Both. I hear you. All right, hiking or swimming?
Hiking, what hiking means?
Hiking like...
walking.
In the El Camino.
Or swimming.
Swimming.
No, hiking.
Hiking? You're a hiker?
Yeah, okay.
The beautiful mountains of Soyer.
Yeah, I love the
so
sea.
Gorgeous.
I love the sea. I mean, from children, I always... Summer is in the sea, in the water. But,
Hiking?
Hiking?
Okay.
Yeah.
Tumbet or Subrasada?
When I was young, Tumbet. Now I prefer Subrasada.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Not every day, of course.
No.
But if I go to a party and say, this is Subrasada, this Tumbet, Tumbet, I ate all my life with my mom. And Subrasada less.
Okay. Got it. Good answer. All right. In regards to photography, okay, high fashion or person on the street?
I've never been a photographer with the camera on and trying to find the picture on the street. I need to have a project in mind to develop. So fashion is a project.
Yes.
Or something I can organize. Imagine, I'm wrong. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong all my life as a photographer. Because imagine I've been in Deia with all these people. I've been touring with all these people. I've been doing concerts with all these people. And always I have the camera with me. But it's there. I never use it like a shotting because I can have a collection of pictures. Amazing. But the camera is something I use when I have a project.
Got it. Interesting.
I'm not a reporter. I'm not a journalist.
Right.
I don't have this feeling, the journey that,
yeah.
Oh, now we are together. Do a picture.
I think that on the street, concept could be fascinating, though, right?
Like, but you have so to, you have to be, so you have to be special for that.
It's a thing.
I mean, if I have friends, they journalists, if I see an accident, or they see an accident, they first show the picture and then ask, "Can I help you?" And if I have the camera in the car, if I happens that I have the camera and it was a big accident there, and I just go to help the people, I don't think about, I'm going to take the camera for that.
All right, so high fashion, you're very self-aware. You have
I've been shopping a lot in fashion because
I mean,
I love the luxury, not the luxury, like money luxury, la elegancia.
Art.
The art, like really the elegancy. And
well done art.
And in that moment, the photographers, when I start to do pictures, the photographers I admire, they were fashion photographers, like Helmut Newton or Ed Rips, or many photographers. I love them. I try to be like them. You know,
that's some way have your influence. Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like some of your portraits kind of have a little bit of like a fashion element to them, like the way you shoot. Mm. Yeah, I can see that. So
yeah, and actually, in this book, in Deja Vu portraits, what I try to do is not something new as a photographer who discovered a way to shot portrait.
Mm. You're doing also, standard.
I did the opposite. I go back to the classicals, you know, to Rembrandt or Velázquez.
I'm a classical preference person.
And I said, I want to do pictures like this. And this book is a portrait, and I see the people again. It's two photos.
Okay.
If character have two pictures. One is the portrait, which is you can see the face or how they look, and the other is how they sit. Oh. And how they sit, you can read many, you can take many info out.
Yeah.
Because everybody sits different.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can see the shoes, you can see how they dress, even these pictures, I never spent more than 10 minutes shooting. They said, oh, can I change the clothes? I just tried to get the spontaneous moment. And I think I get it, because everybody told me this.
Oh, no, you definitely get it. You get it.
Everybody says, wow, yeah,
you have a great eye. You have a great eye. That it's there. All right, sunrise or sunset?
I'm a musician. I'm a sunset. Something rock and roll.
But you could also say I'm a musician. I'm a sunrise.
That's it. For me, the sunrise is beautiful, but you have to wake up.
That's right.
The sunset is just there because you want to go. You want to keep, and the sun goes.
You're almost guaranteed that sunset. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
But I love the sunrise too, but I have to be prepared, you know, I have to wake up with the watch, ring, despertador, this is more complicated.
Very complicated. Pere, this was really very fun. Finally getting to know you, finally getting to talk to you. You have had a fascinating life.
I think so, yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing about future projects.
Yeah, but I think I got to keep doing things.
Absolutely.
Photography. And I relate
you
to
owe it to the community.
I mean, rehearsal for alone, 1 hour a day, the last 2 weeks for my 70 years concert.
Yeah.
And I would like to keep doing it. To keep this with the same people. Keep doing
it. For sure.
But this was Saturday, but last Saturday,
the
guitar is still in the cover. You know, I have passed 10 days and I didn't play anymore because I have other things to do.
Yeah, well, life. You had a
podcast. But I would like to
I hope you do.
Keep playing. Because
I really
now,
hope you
now,
do.
I have blisters on my finger. But now they're not blisters. They
you
prepare.
Need to build up those calluses.
But in 2 days, I'm going to lost the los callos. Okay.
You know what? Maybe you go home, you let out the dog, and then you open up the box, And you play a little.
No, because I have a friend waiting for me. I don't know what I was in now. Yeah.
All right. Can you tell people how they can follow you, how they can buy your book?
Online, in my website.
So online on your website.
Pericolom.art.
Pericolom.art.
Yeah, I mean, you look in there, it's somewhere, it's a shop. So, I mean,
oh, okay.
It's not really set up because I do it when I have time.
Right.
But there's a place that you can buy the book.
And then you have an Instagram.
I'm going to have the book in the shop in La Residencia and in the few shops in there. And we're going to do a presentation, I hope, before or during the La Feria del Libro. The book fair in Palma, which is in
an area.
And I'm going to do a presentation. In that, and then after that, it's going to be in all the shops in Palma.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. But you're also Instagram. You have an Instagram.
Yeah, but I don't use too much.
You don't use it because, you know, you can link your website and then people can go right to the website from there.
Yeah, and I mean, I know I should
Do
things on Instagram, and that, but
it's kind of
My life is personal. Okay, if I do a presentation, I'm going to put it on Instagram, of course. And so we have one of these days. I'm going to put some pictures from my last concert in Facebook, but when I have time, I'm not tomorrow.
That's right. Of course, take your time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you for this.
Super
fun.
More pleasure than what I thought before, because I thought maybe I don't understand you.
Your English was amazing. Your English was amazing. Yay!
Great.
Muchas gracias, Pere.
Un placer.